So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
There are too many guns on the street. We lose 93 million Americans a day to gun violence.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom reaching you loud and clear on the alt-right frontier. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. You are tuned in on the TFR Radio Network, broadcasting to you from a log cabin in a secret mountaintop location somewhere in Appalachia on White America Radio. Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for another edition of Freedom Rings. This one is coming in right around Valentine's Day, which doesn't happen too terribly often. I think the first year that I was on the air, I did a Valentine's show. That was about the only time it really lined up. And I was actually looking for that because I was going to go back over and get the information on the colors of roses and what they actually mean. But it's on a hard drive that I can't access. My new computer had Vista on it. That was fine. And then it automatically updated without my permission or consent to Windows 10, which is the crappiest system I have ever had the misfortune of dealing with. And now I can no longer access my old hard drive. It wants me to partition. And when I click on partition, it says, you will lose all data. Do you want to lose all data? Hell no, I do not want to lose all data, or I would not be trying to access the hard drive in the first place. So for now, all the important stuff that's on that hard drive, like some of the old shows and a ton of scripts that I've written, I cannot access. So if anyone has Windows 10 and knows how to access the hard drives from Windows Vista that you have tacked onto your computer, please email me at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com and let me know so that I can get caught up on this stuff. But in the meantime, I may have some time at the end to talk about Valentine's Day. I want to talk mainly about the State of the Union address and what went down with that to a certain extent and the repercussions of some of the things that are coming out of it. But in the event that I don't get to do anything about Valentine's Day, let me just take a few seconds here to give you a basic public service announcement to all the guys out there who are wondering what to get your sweetheart for Valentine's Day. Well, guys, let me tell you, there's a lot of commercials on TV advertising diamonds and gold and gemstones and jewelry of all kinds. It's very expensive that you can't afford, and she's really not going to appreciate anyway. Flowers are a nice gesture, but they die. If you really want to get your sweetie something that she can really use, get her a cookbook or a case of tampons. So now, regarding the State of the Union address. What do you think about this, folks? I mean, they're saying that this was possibly the best State of the Union address in history. And I would have to agree. I think it was one of the longest, if not the longest. But Trump was making so many good points, he couldn't stop. The man was brilliant. And he received a 75% approval rating across the board for this State of the Union address. I think even 46% of Democrats approved of this address. It was amazing, the points that he made. Did you notice how many standing ovations there were? And even from the Democrats. Now, of course, you had the women in white where everybody was looking at Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez to see what she would do and follow her lead. But I'll tell you what really got me, folks. That aside, I'll get back to that later, was the way that Nancy Pelosi completely disrespected our president. I don't care if you like him or not. If you are a politician in Congress, if you're a congressman or a senator, you respect the president of the United States. That is part of your job description. And she was openly and blatantly disrespecting Donald Trump at every turn. She was holding those notes in front of her face like she was reading off the menu at Starbucks or Ruth's Chris or something like that, completely disregarding what the president was saying. And then she would eventually stand up, and then she was busy looking at these notes, and everybody else had sat back down. Oh, and then she sat down. Now, I think she was very well aware that she was still standing, but she was doing that to prove the point that she could not care any less about what Donald Trump was saying, and that she had no reason to be there whatsoever except for the fact that she was required to be. I have never seen so much disrespect in my life. And it was overt, folks. It was blatant. It was obvious. And I think the American people saw that. I think they saw what she was doing. And I think now maybe they're really starting to understand. Now, getting back to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, these sheep were watching her to see what they would do. Occasionally, somebody would take it into their own hands to stand on their own, and then some other people would stand. But, I mean, it is just absurd the way that they are following her. And she is a blithering idiot. Have you seen this new Green Deal that she has proposed, folks? This thing is downright scary. And she believes this left and right. But the woman is completely clueless. Totally and utterly clueless. Now, she might be book smart, but she's still an idiot. She reminds me of my cat, Rocky. The boy is not dumb. He's not stupid. But he's an idiot. And this is what she is like. Yeah, she may have book smarts, but she has no common sense whatsoever, and like all the other snowflakes and millennials out there, she has no idea how things actually work. And folks, the way she laid this thing out, it's almost like a parody of what someone would write from our side, like something you would find in The Onion, except that she wrote this for real. This is what is in their minds. This woman could not have done a better job of proving our points, proving our case, and proving our cause had she tried. I don't even think Rush Limbaugh could have done a better job than what she did in authoring this piece of legislation. It very clearly shows who these people are, what they stand for, and what they really want, what they ultimately want to do to this nation, what they want to do to our freedom, what they want to do to our liberty, and what they want to do to our individuality. Again, she is completely clueless as to what this country was founded upon and how most people really think. Now, as my ex-wife used to say, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. And what we have been hearing is all a squeak from these socialist, leftist, Democrat, progressive liberals. Just because you have a squeaky wheel does not mean your wagon is about to fall apart. But you can't tell them that. They are convinced that the louder they scream, the more they're going to get their point across. Unfortunately, just like with my ex-wife, the louder you scream, the more people turn a deaf ear to you and look the other way. And then, when someone actually has something intelligent to say, the people will listen. but you cannot get that through their thick heads. And let me tell you something, her head is pretty thick. Combine that with her cluelessness, and it can be dangerous, folks. But, you know, she was a bartender, or at least she said she was a bartender. She worked in a bar for a while because she was so destitute. She wasn't destitute. She took that, who knows why she took it. But now, you know, sometimes, folks, I will go out there and I will do a story. Generally, I comment on what I see going on, but this time I decided I would actually go out there and do some hard-nosed reporting. So I found a very credible source who was at the bar the very first night that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez went to work. And here is what I discovered. The very first customer that came up to the bar ordered a vodka and Coke, and she asked him what was in it. The second patron that came up to the bar sat down and asked for a screwdriver. So she ducked down behind the bar and she looked around a little bit. She popped her head back up and said, "Would that be straight blade or Phillips head?" Third customer came in, sat down and said, "Margarita." And she shook her head and said, "No, Alexandria." You see where this is going, George? Yeah. The fourth customer came in and said, "I'd like sex on the beach." And she smiled and said, "Me too." Now, her fifth and final customer for the night came in and said, "I'd like a slippery nipple." And she reached for a bottle of lotion. That was the end of her first night. Didn't go too terribly well. And my source tells me that on the next night, the first customer that came in asked for a Jamaican moon, and I didn't even bother to find out where it went from there.
It's Tommy Freedom.
Okay, all jokes aside, I mean, her plan is called the New Green Plan. And it is so asinine that even other Democrats are really struggling to try and defend this. I mean, they're calling it a sweeping climate plan, but it's a freaking joke. And people are aghast at this. Now, Pete Buttigieg, I think, I don't know. Anyway, he's a Democrat who's running for the 2020 presidential nomination, called it the right beginning and right direction, while stressing that the non-binding resolution was more of a plan than it is a fully articulated set of policies. Well, when I read this to you folks, you're just not going to believe this. So, Senator Lindsey Graham, who we're all familiar with, just came out and called it outright nuts. He said, "These people have gone insane in terms of trying to fix problems. The Green Deal is basically an economic nightmare for the country." And he is correct. So what exactly is this New Deal? Well, let me take an early break here, folks. When I come back, I'm going to read to you the summary of the Green New Deal. All right? Actually, you know what? This thing is pretty lengthy. I'm just going to go ahead and skip the break today. Otherwise, I'm probably going to overshoot the 30 minutes, and I don't feel like doing an hour show today. So let me go ahead and read this thing for you right now. The Green New Deal is a four-part program for moving America quickly out of crisis into a secure, sustainable future. Inspired by the New Deal programs that helped us out of the Great Depression of the 1930s, the Green New Deal will provide similar relief and create an economy that makes our communities sustainable, healthy, and just. Oh my God. So take a deep breath, folks. Take a big, deep breath. And try and relax. Here are the four pillars of the Green New Deal. Or should I say the Green No Deal. So here are the four pillars of the Green No Deal. Four pillars. That kind of sounds like something country. I got the four pillars. I got the foam pillar. I got the down pillar. I got the polyester pillar. And I got me the my pillar. But here are the four pillars of the Green New Deal. Number one, the Economic Bill of Rights. Our country cannot truly move forward until the roots of inequality are pulled up and the seeds of a new, healthier economy are planted. Jeez, what a writer. Thus, the Green New Deal begins with an economic bill of rights that ensures all citizens, number one, the right to employment through a full employment program that will create 25 million jobs by implementing a nationally funded but locally controlled direct employment initiative replacing unemployment offices with local employment offices offering public sector jobs which are stored in job banks in order to take up any slack in private sector employment. Can you say run-on sentence? What the hell is a job bank? How can you store a job in a bank? This is nuts. This is just the beginning. It gets much better. Local communities will use a process of broad stakeholder input and democratic decision-making to fully implement these programs. Pay-to-play prohibitions will ensure that campaign contributions or lobbying favors do not impact decision-making. We will end unemployment in America. Good luck with that. Once and for all, by guaranteeing a job at a living wage for every American willing and able to work. And how are you going to fund this? How are you going to pay for this? Well, I'll tell you how. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said we will just simply print more money. Yeah, folks, she is that dumb. Keywords here for every American willing and able to work. So that means if you want to sit on your lazy ass like you already are, you don't have to get a job and they'll continue to pay you. Workers' rights, including the right to a living wage, to a safe workplace, to fair trade, and to organize a union at work without fear of firing or reprisal. Well, that already exists. What we want is the right to not have a union. The right to quality health care, which will be achieved through a single-payer Medicare for All program. Like nobody saw that one coming, right? The right to a tuition-free, quality, federally funded, locally controlled public education system from preschool through college. We will also forgive student loan debt from the current era of unaffordable college education. And who's going to pay for it? Oh, that's right. We're just going to print more money. The right to decent, affordable housing, including an immediate halt to all foreclosures and evictions. This will bankrupt the country, you moron. Create a federal bank with local branches to take over homes with distressed mortgages and either restructure the mortgages to affordable levels or, if the occupants cannot afford a mortgage, rent homes to the occupants. Yeah, it costs more to rent than to mortgage. Expand rental and home ownership assistance. That's right, we're just going to pay, print more money for this. Create ample public housing and offer capital grants to nonprofit developers of affordable housing until all people can obtain decent housing at no more than 25% of their income. So that means if you're not working, it's free. The right to accessible and affordable utilities, heat, electricity, phone, internet, and public transportation through democratically run, publicly owned utilities that operate at cost, not for profit. The right to fair taxation that's distributed in proportion to ability to pay. In addition, corporate tax subsidies will be made transparent by detailing them in public budgets where they can be scrutinized, not hidden in evil tax breaks. Number two, a green transition. The second priority of the Green New Deal is a green transition program that will convert the old gray economy into a new sustainable economy that is environmentally sound, economically viable, and socially responsible. We will. Number one, invest in green business by providing grants and low-interest loans to grow green businesses and cooperatives, with an emphasis on small, locally-based companies that keep the wealth created by a local labor circulating in the community rather than being drained off to and rich absentee investors. Another run-on sentence. Number two, prioritize green research by redirecting research funds from fossil fuels and other dead-end industries toward research in wind, solar, and geothermal. We will invest in research in sustainable, non-toxic materials, closed-loop cycles that eliminate waste and pollution, as well as organic agriculture, permaculture, and sustainable forestry. Number three, provide green jobs by enacting the full employment program, which will directly provide 16 million jobs in sustainable energy and energy efficiency retrofitting, mass transit, and complete streets that promote safe bike and pedestrian traffic, regional food systems based on sustainable organic agriculture, and clean manufacturing. This is all right out of Agenda 21, folks. If I got time after I get finished tearing this apart, I will explain Agenda 21 and you'll understand where this is coming from. Number three, real financial reform. The takeover of our economy by big banks and well-connected financiers has destabilized both our economy and our democracy. It's time to take Wall Street out of the driver's seat and to free the truly productive segments of working America to make this economy work for all of us. Real financial reform will, number one, relieve the debt overhang holding back the economy by reducing homeowner and student debt burdens. Democratize monetary policy to bring about public control of the money supply and credit creation. Oh my God. This means we'll nationalize the private bank-dominated Federal Reserve banks and place them under a monetary authority within the Treasury Department. Break up the oversized banks that are too big to fail. End taxpayer-funded bailouts for banks, insurers, and other financial companies. We'll use the FDIC resolution process for failed banks to reopen them as public banks where possible after failed loans and underlying assets are auctioned off, which means nationalizing every frickin' thing. Regulate all financial derivatives and require them to be traded in open exchanges. Restore the Glass-Steagall separation of depository commercial banks from speculative investment banks. Establish a 90% tax on bonuses for bailed out bankers. Support the formation of federal, state, and municipal public-owned banks that function as nonprofit utilities. Under the Green New Deal, we will start building a financial system that is open, honest, stable, and serves the real economy rather than the phony economy of high finance. Yeah, I'm sure that the financial system in the Soviet Union was open, honest, and stable too, wasn't it? Number four, a functioning democracy. We won't get these vital reforms without a fourth and final set of reforms to give us a real functioning democracy. Just as we are replacing the old economy with a new one, we need new politics to restore the promise of American democracy. The new Green Deal will revoke corporate personhood by amending our Constitution to make clear that corporations are not persons and money is not speech. Those rights belong to a living, breathing human being, not to business entities controlled by the wealthy. Protect our right to vote by supporting Representative Jesse Jackson Jr.'s proposed right to vote amendment to clarify to the Supreme Court that we, yes, do have a constitutional right to vote. Oh my God, where are these people coming from? Enact the Voter Bill of Rights that will guarantee us a voter-marked paper ballot for all voting, require that all votes are counted before election results are released, replace partisan oversight of elections with nonpartisan election commissions, celebrate our democratic aspirations by making Election Day a national holiday, bring simplified same-day voter registration to the nation so that no qualified voter is barred from the polls. Do away with so-called winner-take-all elections in which the winner does not have the support of most of the voters, and replace it, that system, with instant runoff voting and proportional representation, systems most advanced countries now use to good effect. No. The Electoral College is there for a reason, folks. Replace big money control of election campaigns with full public financing and free and equal access to the airwaves. Guarantee equal access to the ballot and to the debates to all qualified candidates. Abolish the Electoral College and implement direct election of the president. Restore the vote to ex-offenders who've paid their debt to society, which means give felons the right to vote. And enact statehood for the District of Columbia so that those Americans have representation in Congress and full rights to self-rule like the rest of us. Hey, that is the price that you pay. If you want to live in D.C., there are certain things you have to give up. That's why it's called a district and not the state. That's why that property was taken from both Virginia and Maryland, although Virginia did take it back after the war. But even though Arlington County is now part of Virginia, yeah, those people can vote, but the other half from Maryland cannot get certain privileges. There's no representation like you have with a state, and it's for good reason. You can't have your cake and eat it too, people. Protect local democracy and democratic rights by commissioning a thorough review of federal preemption law and its impact on the practice of local democracy in the United States. This review will put in its center the democracy question. That is, what level of government is most open to democratic participation and most suited to protecting democratic rights? It's always democratic. Nothing about Republicans here for some strange reason. Create a corporation for economic democracy, a new federal corporation, like the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, oh my God, to provide publicity, training, education, and direct financing for cooperative development and for democratic reforms to make government agencies, private associations, and business enterprises more participatory. Yes, citizen, you must participate. Strengthen media democracy by expanding federal support for locally owned broadcast media and local print media. Protect our personal liberty and freedoms by repealing the Patriot Act and those parts of the National Defense Authorization Act that violate our civil liberties. Hey, for once, I actually agree with something. Prohibiting the Department of Homeland Security and the FBI from conspiring with local police forces to suppress our freedoms of assembly and of speech, and ending the war on immigrants, including the cruel so-called Secure Communities Program. Rein in the military-industrial complex by reducing military spending by 50% and closing U.S. military bases around the world. Oh my goodness. Restoring the National Guard as the centerpiece of our system of national defense and creating a new round of nuclear disarmament initiatives. Let us not rest until we have pulled our nation back from the brink and until we have secured the peaceful, just, green future we all deserve. Good God. Now, folks, I deliberately did not read this ahead of time, because I wanted to be just as surprised as you as I came across this stuff, but this is horrible. It literally looks like a parody that a conservative would have written up, and again, she could not have done a better job to support our cause had she tried. So looking at the clock here, it's a good thing I didn't take a break, because I am coming right up on the end of the half hour here. So as always, if you want to get in touch with me, you may do so by emailing me at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. Until next week, my friends, this has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Out for now. Ah, geez. Producer George just reminded me that I forgot to talk to you about Agenda 21. Well, I don't have time anyway, so next week I will start off with Agenda 21 and explain it to you exactly what it is, what it means, and how this all ties into it. And yes, my friends, it does include the Georgia Guidestones.